is Tim going to drop it? Is Tim going to let it go and stop running? And so he writes this great letter to Timothy to encourage him, but also to challenge him. As though to say to Timothy, Tim, are you prepared to run with this? Are you prepared to give your life to this as I have given my life? And as he does so, he underlines two things about what it means to be a Christian. Things which are true for us just as they were for Timothy, which is why it's such a helpful letter for us to look at this evening. And the first thing that Paul underlines is this, that being a Christian means living with a lifelong focus, living with a lifelong focus. It's what he underlines in verse 6 when he writes, as for me, my life has been poured out as an offering to God. Centuries before, in the Old Testament times, God called people to make offerings and sacrifices to him. And there were times when he called people to make offerings of wine to him. And what they would do is that they would take an amount of wine and they would pour it on the altar with their sacrifice. And what Paul is saying here is that is a picture of what I have done with my life. I have poured it out to God. Not a drop of it has been left. Tim, I've given my whole life to serving God. God has been number one in my life, which, as we saw this morning, is a key part of being one of God's people. Key part of what it means to be a Christian. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't say, well, if you want to be a Christian, I want 40% of your life. If you want to be a Christian, I need you to live for me on Tuesdays and Fridays, but the rest of your life is yours. No, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I want it all. Every bit of it. He says, I will give my life on a cross to save your life, but I want your life in return. It's a life for a life. And by the way, Jesus never hides the commitment that's involved in becoming one of his followers. It's never hushed up or airbrushed out of his message. Again and again, we see Jesus spelling it out very, very clearly as he meets people and shares with them the message of the kingdom of God. And when he does that, the question that Jesus asks and puts to people is this, are you prepared to sign up for that? Is that a price you're really prepared to pay? Because if you want to be one of my followers, it is a price you need to pay. We see from what we've been reading that Paul was prepared to pay that price. In fact, he made it his life's work. And he always had this clear focus, a goal that drove him on throughout his life. It was to run the Christian race right to the end and to run the Christian race in the right way. I wonder if some of you will remember this guy, a chap called Linford Christie. He was one of my heroes when I was a young man. I used to think he was incredible to actually have a British sprinter winning a medal. It was fantastic. He was on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here a few years ago. Perhaps some of our younger members would have seen him on there. But in 1992, Linford Christie won a gold medal in the Olympic 100 metres. It was a fantastic occasion to watch. And what was interesting is that as he was running that pivotal race, there was a camera that was focused on him from the end of the track, from the finish line, and that looked down into his eyes as he ran that race. And what was absolutely fascinating was that as they showed the footage from that camera, that you saw that Linford Christie, when he runs that 100 metres, his eyes never waver from the finish line. He doesn't care what is happening there or there or there. He is totally focused on breaking the tape, totally focused on the end of that 100 metres. And you see, Paul is saying here, that is the way I run my Christian race. With my eyes focused on the finish line, on making sure that I get to the end no matter what. And Paul's message is therefore very clear. It is that that every Christian needs to run with that same perspective. To run like him with our eyes fixed on the finish line. And to do so throughout our life, but to do so especially when it's tough. Because it can be tough being a Christian. And that's the other part of what Paul is saying here. You see, why else would he use this picture of a fight to describe what it's like to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ here? You see, just have a look at those verses again in verse 7. You see, he doesn't write there, I've finished the race, I've enjoyed my walk in the park, or my gentle stroll on the beach, or my peaceful PlayStation sessions at home. You see, he doesn't use those kind of pictures, because the reality is that it can be tough to be a Christian. That it is like you're in a battle, it is like you're in a fight. That isn't a physical fight, of course. And when somebody becomes a Christian, the church you're going to doesn't then prepare you for living as a Christian, living in the outside world by enrolling you in boxing and jiu-jitsu classes. You know, how are your Bible studies going? Well, very well. And how about the kickboxing? That's coming on nicely as well. It's not tends to be part of our nurture program. No, you see, when Paul talks about a fight here, he's talking about a spiritual fight. The point that he's making, it is that it can be very hard to stand up and be counted as a Christian because the world is so hostile to Christianity. And as an aside, I think we're seeing that hostility more and more. See it in the media, don't we? Which seems to attack the Christian message and Christian views every week, which preaches a message of religious tolerance, except when it comes to Christianity. And we see it in the government too, who seem to be determined to cut away and chop down Christian values from our society, from our culture. A bit like those companies chopping down the trees in the rainforest, bit by bit. And it can be really tough if you're a young person as a Christian today. Because when people find out that you're a Christian at school, at college, at university, usually what happens is that your popularity rating takes a complete nosedive. And suddenly you face a whole new world of opposition. From people having a go in your face to people posting stuff on your Facebook wall. You may even lose some friends. You may find yourself cut out of social situations, marginalised and isolated. And so perhaps the question is, why do it? In the light of all that, why would you be a Christian? I mean, there would have to be a very, very good reason to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there isn't, it simply isn't worth it, is it? But what Paul shows here is that there is a good reason, an ultimate reason that we need to keep our eyes on. Being a Christian, yes, means living with a lifelong focus, but it also means focusing on a lifelong certainty. It's what he underlines in verse 8, you see, where he writes this. He says, "And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return." And it is a verse that says to Timothy and to us, it says, keep going as Christians. Remember what's at stake here. You see, Paul doesn't want Tim to have this on his gravestone. He fought the good fight for a while. He ran the race for a time, but then he gave up. Doesn't want to see the words on Tim's gravestone. He started, but didn't finish. You see, there is another great British runner who is well known to everybody, a lady called Paula Radcliffe, a brilliant marathon runner who won loads and loads of medals, but sadly, who is remembered primarily for one moment of failure. A marathon where she gave up and where she didn't finish. And Paul's message to Timothy here is, don't be like that. Tim, it's hard. But Tim, don't give up because it's worth it. Keep your eyes on the prize. And what is that prize? Well, notice that Paul calls it a crown. See, when Paul was alive, athletes didn't win medals. Their prize was a kind of crown, a laurel wreath like this. And so that is the picture that he uses here. But you see, the prize that he's really talking about here is the prize of heaven. The prize that you win if you run the Christian race right to the end. It is the greatest prize we can ever win. A life with God where we are completely happy 24/7. In fact, one writer writes that to get an idea of how good heaven is, imagine the best day you've ever had in your life, then multiply that by a billion times, and you're just starting to get the smallest insight of how good heaven is. And in a world which is so damaged and broken, the world that we live in, and we see that damage and that brokenness all around us, then you see, heaven is a place where we'll never know sadness or anxiety or disappointment or insecurity or pain ever again. It is a place where hostility and opposition will be things of the past. And you see, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he was always encouraging people to weigh up whether it was worth following him or not. Always putting that choice before people. And you see, it comes down to an equation. One of my sons has been struggling with equations, doing his maths GCSEs. It's made me realise just how much I didn't understand algebra at school, and I certainly don't understand it now. But you see, the following Jesus equation is actually very, very simple. This is a kind of summary of it. It is 70 years, or perhaps longer if we live longer, 70 years of living for Jesus now, plus opposition, plus difficulty, equals eternal life in heaven. I think I can simplify that even more. 70 tough Christian years equals an awful lot of perfect years. Let me quote a famous preacher, the Reverend Buzz Lightyear, who says that heaven is to infinity and beyond, of course. It goes on. It stretches into eternity. And you see, what Paul says in these verses, that is the future that I keep my eyes on. That is the future prize that I keep focused on. That is what kept Paul going when it was tough. Because that what God promises to those who faithfully carry on running the Christian race right to the end far outweighs any negative issues or difficulties that we may experience in this life. You see, when you've been in heaven, say, for the first 100,000 years, imagine if you could somehow look back on the 70 or so years you have in this life. And if you could do that, you see, it would seem a very small price to pay. It would seem, as it were, like one bad digital photo in a file of millions of brilliant pictures. And what's more, being a Christian isn't just about the finish line. Being a Christian is about discovering the thing in life that every human being is looking for, but so many people fail to find: real meaning and true purpose. Something that we only discover when we discover a real relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The relationship, by the way, that we were always designed to have. And that we don't work or function properly without it. We live with a kind of virtual hole in our lives. In fact, I guess if we were trying to think about an illustration for that, human beings without a real relationship with God are a bit like mobile phones but with no SIM card in. They work, but they don't work as they should. They work, but they don't operate to their full potential. They don't operate the way they were designed to. And when we discover a real relationship with God, it's like the SIM card being put back into our lives, reconnecting us with the God who loved us, who made us, the God who we have lived disconnected from. And so being a Christian isn't just about the finish line, it's also about now. And it's about knowing the best possible now possible. And the other thing is that while we run the Christian race in this life, we don't run it alone. A few years ago, I was very foolishly persuaded by a friend to take part in a triathlon. I know, looking at me, that's quite hard to believe, and I agree with that. He was fit, I wasn't, and it was really tough going. By the end of this thing, I was about half dead. I was on my last legs. I was just struggling to kind of make my way around the last lap. And I remember that last lap very clearly. My friend looked from the finish line. He'd finished a long time before. And he looked and he saw me struggling. And suddenly he came running up to me and ran by my side, encouraging me on, saying, "Go on, you can do it," right until we reach the finish line. And then I had respiration and that kind of thing. Now, you see, that's what God does with us through the Holy Spirit. God promises to run with us every step of the way, never leaving our side, always giving us what we need, always enabling us to finish the race and to gain the prize. And you see, Paul is teaching Timothy and us here that Paul's prize can be our prize too. That everyone who runs the race gets the prize. Just look at what Paul writes. He says, "And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing." That "his" there is the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the only people who look forward to the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the time when he returns to earth the second time, are people who are ready to meet him. And my guess is this evening that there are some of you here tonight who aren't ready to meet him. And so perhaps that isn't something you're looking forward to. Perhaps that's something actually deep down you're scared of, but you don't need to be. You can be ready for that through the Lord Jesus Christ, but you keep putting it off. You keep pushing it to the back of your mind. And sure, you're here this evening, and that's great, but you know that you're just a bystander, that you are, as it were, like one of the crowd at the Olympics. You're looking on while you're watching other people run the race. You're looking at it, but you're not part of it yourself. But the Bible makes it clear, you see, unless you run the race, you can never win the prize. You know, I started off this evening by talking about gravestones. Things at one level, it doesn't really matter what people write on them, although I am hoping for the odd positive comment on mine at the end of time. That would be nice. But you see, what really matters, what ultimately matters, is what is written on your spiritual gravestone. What is written on the gravestone that God writes about your life. And to finish, I wonder what he will write on yours. I wonder what words would be appearing there. Never really took Christianity seriously. Or perhaps wouldn't pay the price and so never joined the race. Or missed out on heaven because this life was more important than eternal life. Or perhaps it was something like, seemed to start, but didn't finish. Or will it be what was written on Paul's? For the good fight, finish the race, remain faithful to the end, received the prize. Well, by God's grace, I hope that that will be true for every single one of us here this evening. Let's spend just a few moments in quiet prayer.